Hi, Adi and Jane. I'm calling you once again from the historic Greek city of Thessaloniki, which is hosting its 26th annual documentary festival. The opening night film, They Shot the Piano Player, happens to be starting its theatrical run in Toronto this week, a happy coincidence for me. It's lovely to see veteran Spanish director Fernando Torreba being honored in Greece with a retrospective of his work, which is concentrated on the impact of jazz and Latin music on culture and politics. His latest investigates the dark mystery involving the disappearance of a talented Brazilian musician in Argentina in 1976. Francisco Tenorio Jr. was an extraordinary pianist, considered to be one of the finest players in Brazil's world-famous bossa nova movement. He was on tour playing in Buenos Aires, accompanying the acclaimed poet and singer Vinicius de Moraes when he went missing one night after going out unaccompanied at 2 a.m. It was quickly surmised that he had been kidnapped by the military police of the Argentine dictatorship, but his fate was not officially recognized for decades. Torreba has fashioned a brilliant film which reconstructs this tragedy. Collaborating with the acclaimed multidisciplinary artist Javier Mariscal, the two have made an animation film which gives a sense of life in Brazil in the past and the present. Though it's mainly a documentary with the voices of such famous musicians as Caetano Veloso, Milton Nascimento, and Gilberto Gil talking about their lost friend Tenorio, Torreba has created a fictional framing device in which an American music journalist comes to Brazil to unravel the decades-old disappearance of the piano player. Using vintage recordings from the 60s, Torreba evokes the talent of Tenorio, who was a brilliant improviser. He could be compared to the American jazz musician Bill Evans, and it was lovely to find out that they had once met and had a great discussion together. But They Shot the Piano Player isn't just a homage to a great musician. Torreba has researched the sinister Operation Condor, which was backed by the U.S. and involved a conspiracy of state terror in Argentina, Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, Uruguay, Bolivia, Chile, and Paraguay in the 70s and the 80s. Tenorio's death was just one of hundreds of thousands of human rights violations which took place during that time. They Shot the Piano Player contrasts the beauty of bossa nova and jazz with the horrors of dictatorships. It's a very impressive film. High and Low, John Galliano, the other film I'm reviewing this week, is a stylish documentary by Kevin MacDonald, which contrasts the brilliance of fashion designer Galliano's clothes with the revulsion people felt when he unleashed a stream of anti-Semitic rhetoric in a Parisian cafe in 2011. What caused the eminent designer to go berserk, yelling racist insults at innocent folks sitting in a posh cafe? MacDonald's film, which has been made with the cooperation of Galliano and Vogue publishers Condé Nast, offers his excuse while telling us the colorful story of his life. An outlandish British new romantic stylist, Galliano emerged fully formed with a graduation show from London's St. Martin's School of Art that stunned the fashion world. Based on Galliano's fevered response to Abel Gance's imagistic, silent-era epic, Napoleon, the show features a crazy amalgam of 19th-century costumes, vintage 20th-century clothing, and modern fabrics cut up into a montage of new fashion designs. MacDonald sees Gance's Napoleon as a metaphor for the designer's rise to power over the next decade. Using images from Gance's film, revealing interviews with Galliano, and footage from supporters like supermodel Kate Moss and the late Vogue editor Andre Leon Talley, we see him rise to the top, becoming Dior's designer from 1997 to 2011. MacDonald is a virtuoso documentary director, so it's no surprise that he beautifully evokes Galliano's extraordinary runway shows, which told crazy stories like the sexy Empress Josephine meets Lolita, or Tramps, a strange homage to the homeless Parisians that made many people angry even 20 years ago. The doc makes it clear that Galliano was working too hard and drinking way too much, especially after his best friend and assistant Stephen Robinson died in 2007. And there we have it, Galliano's excuse. He'd become an alcoholic and no longer knew what he was doing or saying. Apparently, Galliano didn't realize that his boss at Dior, Sidney Toledano, was a Jew, and that the face of Dior's fragrance was the Israeli-born Natalie Portman. Or maybe he did. In any case, He spent time with the British rabbi, learned about Jewish history, and has tried to make amends. Galliano has stopped drinking and is now the designer for Maison Margiela. It turns out, as the Washington Post's black fashion editor Robin Given puts it, you can have a second act if you're a white male. Kevin MacDonald has made a film that looks like an apology, but is too smart to be one. I recommend High and Low, John Galliano. Thanks, Adi and Jean. I'm looking forward to chatting with you from London next week.